Well, it is indeed good to be with you again. The last couple of times that I've been with you, it has been for endings, for sendings, for blessings, for celebrations. Today is also a day of celebration, but it marks a new beginning. And it's great to be here with you to be able to mark new beginnings as well as endings. After 23 years of ministry, Tim Schrag ended his ministry with you back at the beginning of September. And after 19 years of ministry, Jane Reschle ended her ministry in retirement at the end of November. You've experienced lots of transition, lots of change already. And probably sometimes we scratch our heads and wonder, what next? Or how's this going to work out? I remember sitting with the leadership of the congregation about a year ago and kind of wondering, what might this time look like? And we had no idea. You had no idea. And here we are. God has been faithful. God has been with you through this time of transition and change. We're always marking these seasons of transition from autumn to winter, from spring to summer. But it's often hard to know exactly when those transitions have begun. Sure, astronomers know the exact moment when the Earth's tilt reaches its maximum angle and then begins to reverse itself back in the other direction, marking the winter and summer solstices. But this past week has been a reminder that we don't know quite when seasons begin and end, when transition really happens. I left Bluffton, Ohio yesterday morning and it was 59 degrees, and I arrived here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it was 36. When does winter happen? When does this transition really happen? Or when did this transition for you as a congregation really begin? Was it the day that Tim and Jane announced their retirements well over a year ago? Was it September 1st when we celebrated Tim's ministry? Or was it November 24th when you celebrated Jane's ministry? Is it today with Gary's commissioning? Will it be sometime in the future when you all of a sudden it hits home to you that Tim and Jane are no longer here as my pastor? Maybe it will be when Pastor Gary visits with you and you reflect on your hopes and your dreams for this congregation going forward. Transition is often a season that isn't marked clearly by its beginning or its ending. And as the writer of Ecclesiastes reflects, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The season of transition has a reason and a time. May God's constant presence be felt among you. And may God's creative spirit be experienced as you walk this season of transition together. The prophets of old, of the Old Testament, paid close attention to the seasons of Israel's life. And they sought to understand what God was up to in each season of life together. Some of the prophets warned that this season of prosperity and success would lead to forgetting about God. Some of the prophets offered hope and encouragement during seasons of exile and slavery. The role of the prophet was to rightly discern the season and to communicate that to the people. I often say that the prophet is one who holds up a mirror and reflects back to the community exactly what they are experiencing together. The role of the prophet was to call people to attention, to recognize the season, and to be faithful in the midst of that particular season, whether it was a season of prosperity and stability or a season of disruption and transition. In the scripture that we heard just now from Isaiah 42, the prophet is proclaiming that God is about to do a new thing. In fact, God has already begun doing a new thing. God is introducing a new season for God's people who are living in exile away from their homeland and separated from their holy temple where they worshiped God. They are perplexed. They're distraught. They're confused about what God is up to during this time. In many ways, it's a season of despair, and they don't like it at all. But in the midst of this, the prophet introduces a new servant of God, quote, in whom God's soul delights. Listen to how that servant is described. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully, faithfully bring forth justice. This doesn't sound like the kings, the mighty warrior kings of old, or like the kings who reigned with terror, or like the kings who built their kingdoms on the backs of slaves and indentured servants. The prophet is announcing a new season of leadership when the eyes of the blind will be opened, when the prisoners are released from their bondage, when the handmade stuff is recognized as just that, stuff. And God alone is to be worshiped as Lord of the universe. The prophet announces, "See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare." And then when Jesus shows up in Galilee some hundreds of years later, some people of faith recognized in him the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah's words. First John the Baptist and then Jesus himself announces that a new season has begun, a season of baptism by the Holy Spirit, a season when the kingdom of heaven has come near, a season when the lame will walk, when prisoners are set free and our debts are forgiven. A season when the poor inherit the kingdom of heaven and the meek inherit the earth. A season when peacemakers are called children of God. A season when Jesus, the beloved of God, with whom God is pleased, gathers a band of disciples and teaches them about the radical reign of God, which upsets religion, confuses political leaders, loves the outsider, and destroys the power of capital punishment and death. What a season to be alive, wouldn't it have been? To be with Jesus and his disciples, to hear those messages of good news. To be with Jesus when God walked the earth. The thing is, that's exactly the same season that we're in now, the season in which we live today. That season of God's salvation and transformational love continues today. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you see it? How are you experiencing this new covenant of Christ's love within yourself? This covenant of Christ's love in your home, at church, at work, in your communities, and in the world. Where is it? Can you point to it? Can you describe it? Can you envision it? Well, every 2 years, the Central District Conference develops a theme that guides our regional gatherings and our annual meetings, something that invites us to pay attention to where God might be leading. The theme for this season of our ministry together is, Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. What does this mean? This is a prayer for God's Spirit to place within us an awareness of our deepest yearnings. Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. This is a request of God that we be in touch with the spiritual longing within us. Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. This is a desire to know the place where God's mission and our passion intersect. Spirit, bless our souls with yearning. This is no simple prayer. And if you're like me, it's not easy to chip away at all the layers of cultural baggage and family expectations and vocational interests and failures and fears to pull that away to reveal what it is deep within us that is our holy longing, our yearning. But that is what this prayer invites, a stripping away of the thick skin that hides the image of God. This is already within us, that image of God, placed there at the very beginnings of creation when God said that we are created in God's image. Yes, you are created in the image of God, every one of you. Every one of us, created in the image of God. Everyone has the creative spirit of God pulsing through our veins. We each have a yearning that God has inspired within us. What is that yearning for you? What yearning has God's spirit placed upon your soul? As the Central District Conference leadership gathered at Camp Friedenswald this past October, we reflected on this prayer together. And here are a few of the responses that members of the Leadership Council came up with when asked, "What yearning has the Spirit blessed you with?" One person said, "I yearn for contemplative worship and a non-anxious presence. I yearn to know what is good enough and when being overwhelmed by the enormity of problems. I yearn for immigration justice. I yearn for a diverse community that is connected not just on Sunday morning. I yearn for energy. I yearn for rest in God. I yearn to get beyond the structures and systems that we serve. I yearn for intimacy, deeper relationships, vulnerability, trust. I yearn for the other and the outsider to be welcomed." This is just a sample of some of the yearnings that folks in Central District Conference have within them. What yearning has the Spirit blessed you with? This is a season of transition in the congregation. And one of the gifts of this season of transition is the opportunity to reflect individually and together about your deepest yearnings for yourself, for the congregation, for the community, for the world. And I know that Pastor Gary has already invited the congregation to have conversations with him in your homes or in other spaces. And I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity and to use these conversations to explore and test your yearnings. Even if those yearnings sound a bit far-fetched or feel half-baked or seem impossible, share what God's Spirit has placed in your soul. Trust that the Holy Spirit is indeed present within your life. May the God, whose Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus at his baptism and declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased," may that same Spirit of God descend upon each of you, filling you with the love of the new covenant that Jesus Christ embodied himself as he walked among us and as he continues to be with each of us every day. May that Spirit be with each of you. Amen.